Welcome to worship from Daleville Christian Church. It is the season before Easter, and Jesus' followers are encouraged to take this time to learn more about our God. We are called to know God's love, a love so great that the same love moves within us and enables us to love others just as our Lord called us to do. It might be difficult for you in your circumstances to have a firm grasp on our God's love. Some of you are grieving, some may be anxious, we are in the middle of a pandemic. The whole world is afflicted. Our modern communications allow us to know in real time the scope of affliction, entire countries, from the largest cities to the farm settlements. Misery seems close at hand. Many of the things that cheer us are not available to us or much restricted. This is certainly a time for prayer. So I encourage you to look to God who cares about your situation and mine. Call upon him. Who is this God we turn to in prayer? We have affirmations of faith that we share that remind us who he is. And so we look to this affirmation of faith in God's word from the letter commonly referred to as to the Philippians, to all the churches in and around the Greek city of Philippi. And it's in chapter 2 of that letter. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The reading of God's word for today is from Matthew's Gospel in the 15th chapter, just the 30th and 31st verses, where we read, "Great crowds came to him," that is to Jesus, "bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. On Ash Wednesday, we looked at Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the meek, blessed are the humbled." And I asked you if you had ever been humbled. I have been humbled a number of times. My experience has been this: sickness can make us humble. I have in my past suffered terrible headaches that sent me to bed. There was no other solution, even with medication. Whatever I wanted to do or needed to do, I would not be able to do. I would only be able to sleep in bed, staying unconscious of the intense pain in my head. Whatever control or freedom I had before the headache came to an abrupt halt. Many, I know, who have been in the hospital experience the same thing. Once you are in the hospital staff decides everything for you. Whatever the technicians come in to take from you, you must give them. Temperature, blood pressure, and vials after vial of blood. And it all happens no matter how you are feeling. Also, it doesn't matter what time it is. You give or you take medicine on time, on schedule, whether you feel like it or not. Usually, if you're in the hospital, something is wrong that requires that it be addressed, sometimes aggressively. Having said that, we all know individuals who refuse to be humbled by illness. These are the people who go to work while they have the flu. Of course, they claim that they are fine and just have a cold, never mind the fever. And while they struggle against the symptoms at work, they are communicating the flu to everyone at work around them. Those with the flu, like that, will not be humbled. Coaches and athletes have had a hard time learning hard lessons about injury. I told you about a coach a number of weeks ago. Wasn't one of my coaches, but this coach's approach to most injuries was to say, shake it off. We now know that you cannot shake off a concussion. We now know that even if you think you are fine, after a blow to the head, you probably are not okay. You go back onto the field, everyone congratulating you for being tough and strong, and the applause rises as you go back out on the field, more likely for another injury because your brain is not firing as it did before the game. But back the concussed player goes, back in the game to risk a broken limb. And you can't shake those off, no matter what the coach says. So the meekness of illness, the humbleness of sickness or injury, many of us have experienced it. Still, there are those who refuse to be humbled by illness. American males, I'm looking at you. It's a statistical fact that married men live longer. One theory is that wives are more concerned about the husband's health than their husband's, and the husband sees medical professionals more than his single or divorced counterpart. Hence, married men live longer. Unfortunately, many American husbands have to be nagged into a long life. Many refuse to be humbled by illness. So that is my experience and some of your experiences. So now the question for you all. We see the light at the end of this pandemic tunnel. Many of us have had our first inoculation. The elders of this church are looking at the calendar for when we may all meet together again. So the question is this. Have you been humbled by the pandemic? I ask that knowing that there are any number of people in our country who refuse to be humbled by this pandemic. I have already quoted to you before those who were dying at the hospital refusing to believe that it was the COVID-19 virus that was killing them. So have you been humbled by this pandemic? Last year, as the pandemic was getting underway, I mentioned the Bible and the topic of disease to you. The Bible uses two words, pestilence and plague. Uses the word pestilence 56 times and the word plague 74 times. Pestilence and plague are two different words in the Hebrew language, the language of the Old Testament. Those words both refer to severe epidemic diseases that are deadly. The Bible does not use, and the Bible cannot use, more scientifically correct words. The Bible cannot use the word infection or communicable, and even if the writers would have used such words, they could not know how an illness travels or incubates. That knowledge was beyond the ancients at that time. But a disease, any disease or virus, any infection running rampant through a population, the Bible knows all about that. So we can take heart, our God knows our situation. The Bible makes clear that in the past, God has often used those plagues and or pestilences to afflict people. But also notice that when God did use either plague or pestilence, they were aimed at a specific group of people. The King James Version of the Bible declares from the Lord, Leviticus chapter 26, "And if you walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins." God was speaking to the children of Israel in Moses' day, or in Joshua's day. But this pandemic today is worldwide. Therefore, today, God is not punishing any group of people with the pandemic. The Lord has not punished China with the coronavirus, and God is not protecting America from the coronavirus. I'm not one of those preachers. I mentioned on Ash Wednesday that King Ahab was humbled by his sin when his sin was revealed to him by the prophet of God. And King Ahab was not a king of Israel. Ahab was a foreigner. Clearly, Ahab was humbled by his sin, and Ahab humbled himself, carrying out all the signs of being humbled for citizen or king alike. And then the Bible states, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? And because King Ahab has humbled himself, I will not bring this disaster in his day." Now, your preacher is an historian. This is not the first pestilence or plague to come to America. And Americans were humbled by those diseases and afflictions that came to them. Many of the wealthy in the southern United States 150 years ago left their homes during a yellow fever outbreak and moved to one of their other homes in another part of the state to avoid the pestilence. I've mentioned to you before that when an epidemic was detected here in our town in Daleville, the schools and churches shut down. That was 120 years ago and more. When we look to Jesus and Jesus' healings, I notice something about many of them. The people Jesus healed were humbled by their illness. One of the reasons for that is that the ancient people suffered illness differently than we do in modern America. For example, if you were disabled, the Bible often uses the word crippled or infirmity, but sometimes neither word. For example, if you suffered from leprosy in Jesus' day or suffered from any number of skin diseases, you would be socially disabled. The leper could not live in town or with family or friends. The leper could only live with other lepers. The only work they could do was whatever work they could do together. Basically, lepers lived in quarantine their entire lives until they died from leprosy. Other afflictions like blindness, paralysis, and what the Bible calls being lame, however the lame were afflicted, or whatever the nature of the affliction, it prevented them from walking. And when Jesus healed the lame, the Bible tells us the lame walked again. Acts chapter 3 describes a lame man who had some sort of birth defect, since he had it from birth. The man in Acts 3 was lame and was begging. That was what blindness or disease or illness, birth defect or accident would usually consign you to, begging for a living. God's word for today receives our focus. These verses are part of a bigger report. These verses are tucked in between the two great miracle feedings in Matthew's gospel. But we focus on these words because we see the Messiah healing. Matthew uses four different Greek words to describe this crowd of disabled people, people humbled by affliction, and then includes all the other illnesses with the words, many others. And certainly all of the many are sick or disabled in some way. Matthew probably had Isaiah chapter 35 in mind, and Matthew's congregation or congregations would know Isaiah chapter 35. Matthew does not quote it, but I will. "Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy." As I mentioned, Matthew used four different Greek words to describe the afflicted. One of those Greek words appears nowhere else in the Bible but right here. Usually translated crippled, that may be the best translation because this term means that a limb or extremity is not usable. Whether because of deformity or accident, because of wounds or stroke or other paralysis or disease like arthritis. Then Matthew even increases the range of the afflicted, stating many others, all afflicted. These were all brought to Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus healed them. And you know why this is very important to point out, right? Because of the persistent belief This belief has been persistent since Jesus' day, that the afflicted are being punished, and usually the belief is that God is punishing them for some sin. A year ago, I spoke with a young man afflicted with a terrible disease, and as faithful as this man was, he still wondered if he was receiving justice for his past sins, which he understood, those sins which he had stated, those sins which he had repented of, those sins which he had confessed, and those sins which were forgiven. But still he wondered, am I being punished? Even the disciples of Jesus in three instances were prone to accusing the Heavenly Father of bringing disaster upon the sinful. But Jesus corrected the disciples every time. God has come, as the prophet Isaiah claimed, and God has come to the afflicted, and God has come to those whom life has humbled, saying, blessed are the meek, blessed are the humbled. It's important to state the obvious here for Americans in this century, especially the American male. The sick in Matthew chapter 15 sought help. The sick in Matthew chapter 15 sought help from a third party. And the sick from those mentioned in Matthew chapter 15 sought help from a third party, but not just any third party. They sought help from Jesus, Messiah. It's important for today's DIY generation, the do-it-yourself people, the I know what is best people, the I don't need a doctor people, the I can take care of it people, the I'll be fine people. Now, there's nothing wrong with an independent spirit, but that spirit needs to be tempered with wisdom. Wisdom is humble enough to seek help. The sick and disabled in Matthew chapter 15 turned to God and sought Jesus. So I can ask my question again. Has this pandemic humbled you enough to seek help? Has this pandemic humbled you enough to seek God? But one more word from our Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who humble themselves. The word has several synonyms, several like meanings. Those who are of low position. Those who are of little or no account. Those who are humble-minded. Those who are subservient. These are not popular words in America. But what if one was subservient to God, the Heavenly Father? And as our Lord Jesus stated it, the humbleness can be learned and practiced. Prayer and fasting have always been seen as signs of being humble or making oneself humble. Prayer and fasting are just the practices that believers have been encouraged to practice in this season before Easter. I know these are not the American way. But as Jesus told us, these are the ways of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven has come in our Lord Jesus. You, believer, your citizenship is in heaven as well as the United States. 2 Corinthians 5, we are ambassadors of Christ. Now, being an ambassador is not a status. Being an ambassador is not for your privileges. Being an ambassador is a mission. As kingdom of heaven ambassadors, we do not do in Rome what the Romans do. We do what the sons of God do. We do what the children of the Heavenly Father do. Why? Because we are the children of the Heavenly Father. Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen.